Hello, I'm Stu Sensei, and welcome to the Stu Sensei English Podcast, the place that helps you unlock your English ability. Let's crack on with the show. Hello, welcome to Stu Sensei's English Podcast with me, Stu Sensei. Today, I have a guest. You may know him from his Instagram and YouTube, and his name is Chris from Instant English. Today, we're going to be talking about his journey to becoming an English teacher and about generational differences in vocabulary. Here we go. Why did you become a teacher?
Purely selfish reasons. I became a teacher just to travel, basically. It was my way of like traveling forever without ever going home, and I haven't lived in England for about 8 years now, so it's kind of worked out to plan. But yeah, that was the main reason. I just wanted to travel, and it was a way that it was the only way I could think of to do it without ever having to go home and then save and then travel again. And I thought, okay, if I just teach abroad, then I can save and then move to another country and then keep repeating the process. So that's what I did, yeah.
That's basically amazing. How many countries did you visit?
It has slowed down a lot with age, but I think I'm up to about 45 now, for example.
That's a small amazing.
Yeah, it was a lot easier when like traveling around Europe, for example, and you just get on a train and you can visit like 3 countries in 3 days or whatever, but yeah, it's different now as well, because before I wouldn't mind slumming it in some hostel, for example, whereas now I need my bed, you know, I need somewhere by myself, well, with my wife, and I don't want to, you know, sleep in a car or something, which I used to do when I was like 20 or 21, but you know, priorities change, right?
Yeah, definitely so, 100%. Okay, so did you mainly work for yourself, or did you work for other companies as a teacher?
Always for other people, yeah. So I started working in Oxford. I was sort of volunteering. It was just to gain experience. So I was kind of working in Oxford, teaching free classes to multinationals, classes of multinationals like Brazilians and Japanese and so on. And then after that, I just applied everywhere around the world, literally everywhere. I remember applying for a job in Iraq, for example. It was like £80,000 per year, but you had to hire your own bodyguard and stuff. I was just literally just throwing myself out there to see what would stick. And I got 3 offers in the end. I had Argentina, Madrid, and then Japan. And Argentina, which was my dream, I was like, oh yes, I got it, what I want to do. But they were like, okay, come to Argentina and then we'll have a little training session for 2 weeks unpaid, and then we'll see if you have a job. But you have a job, but we'll just see, you know. So I was like, I think I was about 23 at the time, so I was like, no, that doesn't sound great. And then I had a choice between Madrid and Tokyo, and it was kind of 50-50 really, because I still wanted to practice Spanish. That was the language that I loved. But I just opted for Japan. I didn't know anything about it. I just went there just because I thought, well, I want to get as far away as possible from my parents. So that was the furthest I could think of. And it was really cool because I didn't know anything about Japan. Nothing. I didn't really care about learning the language. I remember working in Pizza Hut before I went, saving money. And I was like, nah, I'm not going to buy a textbook or anything like that. But then when I got there, you know, everything changed. Everything was new. And it was like, wow, this is crazy. This is crazy. I remember seeing, I was there, I arrived October and then Halloween came. So I was in Shibuya for Halloween. And there were like some bin men collecting the rubbish dressed as Mario and Luigi. And they had like music and stuff. And I was just like, little things like that just kept blowing my mind. So then eventually I was like, well, it was just nice to learn things naturally rather than like Google everything and then you move there. So that was really fun. But yeah, always working for other companies. I worked for an Eikaiwa when I arrived, a pretty big one. I don't know if you have Shane.
Shane.
And then I moved to SIUK, which is just teaching IELTS. And that's when I sort of really was truly happy then, because it was like teaching something that people actually wanted to learn, rather than just sort of having like a random schedule of like 1 hour kids and then 1 hour some old ladies. And then it was just sort of very, I preferred it more like fixed, like, okay, you come in here to do this, I'll teach you this, rather than I'm like a handyman for English, you know? So,
yeah.
And then I moved to Peru after that, and worked for a British Institute, like a cultural center / language center. And then when the pandemic came, they let me go. So I was in Peru when the pandemic arrived, and I was just sort of at home. And that's when I started working for myself. I just started working online. That's what I did. And then my wife looked at, she was on TikTok, and then I made an account after she started nagging me for a few weeks, and then that was it really. And then now I work for myself, and I never go back. I can't imagine ever going back.
Yeah, it's good.
Do you work for yourself?
Yeah. I started last year. So I originally started doing social media just to help some students, because I stopped doing online lessons at some point because my wife was pregnant with our second kid. And then I was like, oh, I can still do something, I suppose. And then you never know what comes of it, kind of thing. And it's literally just to help people. And then over time, it just built into something else that allowed me to then leave that job I was at and start my own thing. So very, very fortunate. 100%, and it's amazing what you can do these days, to be honest.
I think it's also, I don't know about from your experience or your parents or your family, but I feel like it's very sort of an English mentality to push the idea of like, have a good job, have a stable job. Now don't start a risky business, that's not a good idea. But then when I travel to other countries, they're always like, you work for other people, that's insane, why don't you start your own thing, like you have all the opportunities and skills, or you know, whatever it could be, you have more opportunities than us, for example. And they're like, well, I don't know, I just want to work at a university. They're like, well, that's mad. So I don't know, I feel like it's an English thing, like, get a good job, buy a house, you'll be fine.
I think every person in their own country feels that way, you know, like there's that always that mentality. But as soon as you leave the country, opportunities you find out are endless, don't you? And then it completely changes your mindset. So I think a lot of those people are just stuck in the country. One of my best mates did, all he did was, funnily enough, go to Magaluf or somewhere like that every summer repeatedly, would never go anywhere else. And the year before I left, I said, you should come with me, I'm going to Lithuania. I just picked like the cheapest place I could find because I just wanted to try something new. And I was never into the beach, getting drunk out of my head kind of thing. So, and they were all like, nah. And then they didn't book anything that summer. So then they decided to come. Now he goes everywhere because he experienced something completely different, you know, and really enjoyed just not going to the beach and drinking, just actually doing something. So I think people get stuck in a mindset, don't they, and don't realize what's available. So,
yeah, it's really like my favorite travel like experiences were countries where I had no expectations. And, you know, just like, I feel like that can just evolve in from anything really, from TikTok, for example. I started making an account and I was like, this is stupid. I'm a little like an idiot. You know, I thought a lot of people would judge me in England. I didn't really have a good group of friends from England. And, you know, they were very sort of belittling, I suppose, in that way, like in terms of like, oh, that's something new. We don't know it.
For sure. Stupid. It's really an English thing.
Mm. Yeah. So when I sort of just, I just made TikTok because I thought no one would be on it, and then it just blew up, and I was like, oh, this is crazy, you know, why didn't I do this before? But it was just, I didn't do it before because I always thought I'd be judged, you know. Why make a YouTube channel while I'm in Japan? People will think I'm stupid, I'm nobody, you know. So I think that's the same thing in anything, you know, about traveling as well, like, why go to Albania, you know, like, but you never know what you find, you never know. So it's something I really believe in now. Get good friends, basically.
I don't necessarily think that people are bad. I just think that I really think English people, that is their mindset a lot of the time. It's a culture there. Like, there's always a joke is the best way to put it. Someone's always making a joke, you know, and at some point we don't know when to stop, I think is the best way to put it. And then it goes into judgment, and then you know, other countries have different outlooks on things. And I think being abroad is such an eye opener again because of that kind of side of things. So we just take it for that's the way it is in England, but everywhere else, no, it wouldn't be accepted, you know. So it's really interesting. I felt the same as soon as I left as well. Like there's that sometimes those people that make jokes for the sake of making jokes, it felt like at times. So it's interesting. So obviously, yeah. you found a bit of, if you want to call it luck, like you just said then, of starting on TikTok and then it snowballed from there. And obviously now not luck, but you know what I mean? Like the first moment when you realize when you start up. Do you have any advice for anyone else who wants to begin their path as a teacher? Maybe is social media the best place to start or should they do something else?
I think you definitely have to try and teach abroad to begin with. I would say that I wouldn't start on social media first. I would definitely have some experiences because there are a lot of moments where you make mistakes, you know, especially with grammar or something like that, or vocabulary or that kind of thing. Because there are things that you believe to be true and then you go and teach and then you learn from other teachers like, oh yeah, that was, oh yeah, why did I think that? Or why did I explain it that way? It's not a very good way to explain it. So you kind of need some experience behind you just to get those mistakes out of the way. Not that you stop making mistakes, but there are loads of moments that you learn from group classes, for example. People ask you things, you have to think on your feet the same way you might have to do the same in like a live stream or something. And I think as well, people want to feel like they can relate to you in some way because you've done something in terms of like, oh, I've been to your country, I've taught people from your country, oh, I know that reference. And then you can use that in videos and then teach them through that. So I'd definitely say like, you know, go abroad and teach for a while, even if you're non-native, you know, there's loads of countries who are desperate for teachers. So, you know, there's always opportunities out there. Obviously there are some countries who are sort of very focused on native teachers, but not always, you know, there's those are countries like China, for example, or even in the UK, you know, you come to the UK and teach, those are teaching jobs available, that's for sure.
Definitely.
But yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's just learn by doing, right? I started with some free classes, so that was a great experience because I was terrified.
Sure.
You know, you okay, teach the present perfect to 10 strangers from different nationalities, you know, some quiet, some loud, some too quiet. What do? You have to kind of manage the room and also teach the grammar, also make sure it's easy to understand. So, you know, you have to kind of go through that moment of being terrible first, you know, or maybe some people are naturally good, but I think I was terrible to begin with, especially on, I think, what did I teach? I think I was teaching the passive or something in like one of my third or fourth classes in Oxford. And I was like, I don't even know how to explain it. It's just like, this is how it is. Like, how can you put it into other words, you know, because you just sort of learn by, you know, obtaining language. So do you remember your first classes? By any chance?
My first were with kids, so I didn't have so much difficulties to teach, but still it's the those moments, like you say, when you can't word it correctly. I always say to the students, like, being a teacher is actually very similar. The first time you speak as a student and the first time you teach something, because the first time you teach something is normally long-winded, you use the wrong words in the wrong places, it makes it more confusing or something, and over time you make it more efficient. And it's very similar to conversation the first time. So yeah, definitely the first time anything that's needed to be explained that I could do better, because each student is different, so you have to adjust, you know. So it's interesting for sure, you know. But in terms of my first class, yeah, not really such a big issue. I work with kids in England, so it wasn't such a big deal for me, just English instead. But it's fun though. It's fun to look back and see how you've changed.
Make sure they're alive.
They're alive is the most key thing, I think, yeah, anything. When you were younger, were there any words that you used that your parents didn't like? Like, for example, in their generation, maybe they wouldn't use them.
Yeah, I think there were a couple. My parents didn't like me to swear at all. They used to always say that it shows a lack of vocabulary. So anytime I swore, they would always say, you know, you're just sounding stupid. Maybe man. I used to say man quite a lot. Like, all right, man. Yeah, man. I just put man at the end of everything, and they would be like, who's man? Like, who is he? You know, so I think that was something that was not used at all in their generation. And I don't know if it is now. Maybe it's just sort of like a 90s thing. I'm not sure. What else? In it, yeah. They weren't a big fan of in it. I used to put in it. I still use in it quite a lot, especially if I'm just speaking quickly. Yeah. I think man, in it, and swearing generally. Although sort of my parents now swear a lot. So it was only sort of when I was younger. They didn't like it at all. I'm not sure why. But yeah. Now I'm the one. I rarely swear now, really, but they seem to swear all the time. I don't know why.
Maybe they just did it.
Are there any expressions you use?
I mean, yeah, I always think, like, when I was a kid and I got my first Nokia 3330 or whatever, and you know, when you're first messaging, and I always remember like LOL or something being used in messages, and my parents were like, "You should not. That's not English," or something like this, and they would be in shock, this kind of thing happening. And yeah, how now it's like a mainstream thing, everyone uses it. It's really crazy, you know, big change.
Yeah, I find it's really interesting, because I've got TikTok, Instagram is kind of like in between. You can get like both sort of generations, and then I've now started on Facebook. I don't know why, I just thought I'd go back, you know, grab that older crowd. See if I can get them interested in English. But it's really interesting, because I post a video on TikTok about anything, and then people comment, and I see all these comments, like the people writing, I don't know, cap or something, like a word or expression I don't use myself. And I'm like, these Gen Z kids with their new expressions, like, this is stupid. Like, you know, I'm sort of in the middle as a 30-year-old. And then now I post those same videos I post on Facebook. And then people on Facebook, they comment like, I've never heard this word before. Like I said the other day, it was like a video just kind of showed different levels of English, like just, you know, just for vocabulary. And the last one was like native, and I put, you're chatting shit. And then like some guy on Facebook, some like 50-year-old, 60-year-old guy was like, I've never heard that expression before. I've never used it. It doesn't exist. And so it's really interesting that people on TikTok were like, that doesn't exist. They were saying, you should use cap. And then on Facebook, they were like, yeah, it doesn't exist. I've never heard of it. You should say, what was he said? You should say something like, you're pulling the wool over my eyes or something. So it's really interesting, like the generational usage of language. Definitely. And nobody believes each other in terms of what's correct or not.
The guy who said it, was he non-native or native speaker?
I think he was native. Yeah, I'm not sure. I just
that's look on his, so interesting, his profile. I know that one. Yeah, 100%. Maybe it's just our generation, I guess. But
I commented, you know, I didn't let it go. So I commented like, give it a quick Google. You know, maybe it's a generational thing. And then he commented back later like, yeah, I don't need to Google it. I just asked my niece, and she told me it is true. Maybe I'm just too old. So he did back down. But it's just that's a common thing that I've had for the past few months since I opened up Facebook. Like, I thought I was getting old, but then now I've posted the same videos on Facebook, and then I realized, like, I'm not that old yet. I'm getting there. But yeah, still, I do look at some vocabulary or language that's used now, and I'm like, what is that? What does it mean? It just happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Especially not living in the UK.
I think that I think even living in the UK, like, I remember when I first came to Japan, and then on Instagram, suddenly this word like lit was appearing, and I'd never seen it. And I was like, what the hell is this? And I just thought it was an American thing. I don't know. But then getting more into social media with teaching, I was like, this is a real thing. This is something that's people use a lot. And then cap, it took me so long to understand what was happening. I really didn't get, it doesn't have any context. And just someone says, that's cap, and that doesn't mean anything to me. So I was like, what?
No.
You know?
I even, because I made a video about that about a year ago. or something like that, just like internet vocabulary. So then I thought I'll just ask my friends who were actually teachers in Japan, but they've sort of left the profession now and moved back to the UK and do other things. So I just asked them like, oh, do you know what this means? And they were like 30 like me, so I don't think they're that old. And they were like, I'd never heard of that. Because just because they're not maybe on, they're not on TikTok, or they're not, you know, in that circle of people. So they were like, yeah, I've never heard that. I don't know what it means. So it's really interesting how, you know, they could be in England, but they still wouldn't hear it unless they are using this specific platform on the internet, or they're talking to these people playing FIFA online. Unless you're doing these certain things, you might not pick up certain words until they become mainstream, like Karen, for example, or Kat.
That's it from this episode. Thank you so much for joining. Make sure to check out Chris on his Instagram and YouTube under the name Instant English. Look forward to speaking to you next time. Ciao.